although the Lord did use parable-like illustrations early in his teaching, such as the one that concludes the Sermon on the Mount, the parable of the sower is usually called his first, or at least his first recorded. And it appears in all three synoptic gospels, that is Matthew, Mark, and Luke. His disciples asked Jesus why he taught in parables, and he gave this reply as recorded in Matthew's gospel. He said in the 13th chapter, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, Hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they shall see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, to hear what you hear and did not hear it." Isaiah had foretold that many of the people of Israel would reject both the truth and the promised Redeemer, even though God's wonderful works among them and the prophecies of the prophets should have prepared them to see and to understand. So that's what he means when he says, "Listen, I tell the parables because seeing they don't see and hearing they don't understand anyway, because of the hardness of their hearts." Come on in, we have up here. Come on, men. It's always good to have you here. So distorted had their understanding of righteousness and of the coming of the Messiah become that they were unwilling to see and to hear. And we have to be sure that we don't distort our understanding, and that we create a Messiah, we created Christ that is not who he was, but we create him so that he fits what we want. There's a saying, the Lord created man in his image and likeness, and then man returned the favor. Okay? In other words, that we create God in our image and likeness, what we want him to be like. Okay? Not what he is. The parables then veiled the truth from those who were without, that is, outside the group of those who had left all to follow Christ. To understand, truth is given to those who are converted and have opened their hearts to receive it. Archbishop Dimitri makes that point in his wonderful little book on the parables, from which much of this is taken. To us, it seems to be easily comprehensible, but his apostles had a hard time with it. In Mark's Gospel, Jesus, before explaining the parable to the apostles, tells them that if they have trouble understanding this one, how will they understand the rest of the parables to come? It was given to the disciples, quote, to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. They were within or initiated, and they should have been able to see things in their deeper and spiritual meaning. Being in Christ means that a new understanding means having a new understanding of the world, of mankind, of life, and of all things. A totally different and new understanding. Even generally accepted standards are overturned because they are standards worked out without reference to God's demands on mankind. Many of the parables bear the truth out. In all human activity and relationships, God's will and his justice and righteousness must prevail. Many of the parables, that's one of the truths that they're given, or they were spoken by Christ for, was to show the truth that in all human activity and relationships, God's will and his justice and righteousness must prevail. Paul explains the Jews' rejection of God as revealed first by the prophets and then by the Son. And he says this in his letter to the Romans. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. Again, we have to be careful that we're not creating our own righteousness with God as we see it, instead of doing it the way he tells us he wants it done. The Lord's explanation of this parable is easy to understand and doesn't really require further interpretation. However, Archbishop Dimitri points out, commentators in every generation have developed the parable to make it directly applicable to their contemporaries. And he approves of this, pointing out that each generation produces its own spiritual wayside, its own spiritual stony places, and its own thorns. St. Cyril of Alexandria, in his 41st homily, writes about the types of persons represented by the three types of ground upon which the seed fell as this. Of that seed which fell on the wayside, he says, no sacred or divine word will be able to enter those who have minds that are hard and unyielding. For it is by the aid of such words that the joyful fruit of virtue can grow. Men of this kind are highways that are trodden by unclean spirits and by Satan himself. And they shall never be producers of holy fruit because their hearts are sterile and unfaithful. Of the seed that falls on the rock, St. Cyril said this, a religion without roots is what they have. When this kind of person goes out of the church, he immediately forgets the whole teachings he has heard there. And as long as Christians are left in peace, he keeps the faith. But as soon as persecution arises, he'll be ready to take to flight in search of safety. And finally, St. Cyril exhorts us not to allow the cares of this world to choke the tender shoots of faith and commitment as soon as they sprout from the soil of our hearts and minds. We must not be deceived thinking that thorns and new shoots can exist side by side. We talked yesterday at the adult education that the purpose of the fast, right, is to weed out, if you would, to pull out those weeds that spring up in our spiritual lives. St. John Chrysostom explains that, quote, the seed is the doctrine of Christ, the ground is the souls of men, and the sower is Christ himself. As to why the divine sower would sow his seed where he knew it would produce no fruit, St. John says this, for as the sower makes no distinction in the land submitted to him, but simply and indifferently casts his seed, so the Lord himself makes no distinction between rich and poor, between wise and unwise, between slothful and diligent, between brave and cowardly, but he discourses unto all. Even though Jesus tells the disciples, in effect, that there will be more who do not receive the word of God or will lose it once they receive it, they still must not hesitate to teach everyone. For an ordinary farmer, such indiscriminate sowing would be pointless. Where St. John Chrysostom points out, it's impossible for the rock to become earth, or the wayside not to be wayside, or the thorns, thorns. But he immediately adds this, but in reason endowed creatures, mankind, this is not so. In them it is possible for the rock to change and become rich land. For the wayside no longer to be trampled upon, but lie open to all that pass by, and not lie open to all that pass by, but that it may be a fertile field. And the thorns may be destroyed, so that the seed may enjoy full security. For had it been impossible, the sower would not have sown. It's all possible for us to do and to cooperate with these graces. But that's the key. We have to be that synergistic person, Christian, we talk about so often, one who cooperates with the grace of God. Any human being may be converted. Vladika Dimitri sees two important lessons being given by Jesus in this parable. First, it's not up to the one who would be God's messenger to decide beforehand to withhold the word of God. We preach to everybody. When we went to the fair, some asked us, is that the right place to be? Okay, to go to witness to Christ. And when I was being flip, I would say, if I knew where the convention of prostitutes and tax collectors was being held, we'd go there instead. Because that's where Jesus went, right? You go to all people. There's no such thing as not appropriate to preach the gospel and to be witnesses to Christ in the Orthodoxy and some. We witness to everybody in all places. And that's what Archbishop Dimitri points out. From those whom he might judge, true hard-hearted and lost in sin, he does not withhold his preaching. It's not up to the one who would be God's messenger to decide beforehand to withhold the word of God. And he doesn't withhold it from those whom he might consider too busy with other concerns and absorbed in the pursuit of pleasure and luxury. The gospel is for everyone. And both the gospels and Christian history offer many examples of the conversion of all three types of people. Okay? Many, many people. Many saints. Right? We only need to look at Paul, who persecuted the church, right, and then became the great apostle to the Gentiles. And finally, it behooves all of us, Archbishop Dimitri says, it behooves all of us who seek to follow Christ, first to clear the ground of our souls, second to resist those who deprecate and ridicule our faith, third to take seriously the experience of the saints, who tell us how to deepen our faith by prayer, fasting, and good works. The tools by which we tend the fields of our hearts. So that we are synergistic with those graces. Without the grace of God, we can accomplish nothing. We can do all the praying and all the fasting and all the almsgiving we want. But without God's grace, it'll be to no avail. Right? Fasting without God's grace is a diet. Okay? But with God's grace, these things can happen. Finally, to become convinced, we are to become convinced that it is impossible to lead the double life of service to God and service to the idols of this world. We've got to make our choice. Whether the field we tend will be the fields that Christ has sown, or whether we'll tend the fields of the world. But if we tend the fields that Christ has sown, then we too can be described as those who bring forth fruit. And at the end of today's gospel reading, the Lord said, "But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience." Let us then, with good and noble hearts, hear the word, and be patient in our keeping of it, then we will bear fruit. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.